Hello and welcome to the boisterous debauchery of this week's film show. The Guardian's very own Animal House contains kegs of beer, vomiting volcanoes, and all manner of frat boy male bonding, although obviously the ladies are more than welcome to throw themselves into the mix. And now, let the wild rumpus begin. Rearing up on this week's show, a bearded hobo goes in search of vengeance in the Cannes Prize winner Blue Ruin. A cash-strapped family torments their harried housemaid in the Asian drama Ilo Ilo, and it's Jon Snow versus the volcano in the sword and sandals epic Pompeii. But we begin with Bad Neighbours, a soulful, sensitive comedy in which 30-somethings Rose Byrne and Seth Rogen find themselves just a little at odds with the Delta Psi fraternity that moves in next door. Zac Efron co-stars as the frat boy in chief, and here he is talking to The Guardian's Henry Barnes.
Wicked, what's up? Hey, how's it going?
Are you our new neighbours?
We're your new neighbours!
Yeah.
I'm Teddy.
Initially, he was a pretty bad guy on paper, and I really wanted to find the redeemable qualities that I know exist in these type of guys that are so easy to hate. You know, at their core, if they're your best friends, they take a bullet for you.
If we're too noisy, don't call the cops.
Okay.
I'll go tell them to
shh. Yeah. Are you ready for a show?
We're gonna have to call the cops.
We're gonna seem so lame.
Do it anonymously.
It's a good idea. They do our dirty work for us.
Oh, shit. You sold us out.
You called about your neighbors?
No. No.
We have call ID. We're cops. Everybody has call ID.
I saw this film as being about the kind of conflict between the two characters in terms of them being two different stages of manhood as well.
Yeah.
That Seth's character hasn't really let his party days go
either.
Is that something you're starting to feel yourself as someone at your age, that the kind of party's over and you have to grow up a bit?
I think that happens to everybody, you know, at some point. But it's also just beginning, you know. I think there's new interests and new things I've found in my life that are really exciting that I wasn't thinking about a year ago, you know. I just produced my first film this year, and that was pretty exciting. You know, I never imagined I would do that.
Stop doing this stupid shit! We're sorry!
Hey, when you called the cops, you violated the circle of trust, fucker.
We're sorry we called the cops, okay?
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Yes.
Are you talking to me?
Yes!
Yes!
Hey, no, you're talking to me.
Are you
talking to me?
Are you talking to me?
No, you're talking to me.
I don't see anyone else here.
I don't see anyone else
We're
here either.
We're trying to talk to you.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides.
What the fuck are you doing? That's the wrong Sam Jackson speech.
Are you talking to me?
You're talking to me.
Blessed be.
Get off. Are you talking to me?
Get the fuck out of here. Stop it.
I'm joined now by them next door, Henry Barnes and Catherine Shord. Catherine, writer-director Nicholas Stoller started out as a member of the Judd Apatow comedy fraternity. He's certainly learned his lessons, hasn't he?
He has, but I think what particularly makes this one great, and I really enjoyed his other ones, is, you know, Forgetting Sarah Marshall and Get Him to the Greek and 5-Year Engagement. This is better because it's tighter. Mm. It's got this really cute setup and it keeps it under 100 minutes and it doesn't have that sort of propensity to indulge the angst of its leading man that those earlier films had, which, you know, and I love Jason Segel as much as anybody else, but it did sort of, you know, 5-Year Engagement clocked in at something like 2.5 hours and it felt like it, whereas this really keeps it tight, just sticks totally to the premise, doesn't indulge Seth Rogen, gives equal time to Rose Byrne, gives time to the frat boys, you know, allows somebody like Dave Franco to be really funny. Really, really liked it. I thought it was great. And it was sort of ambitious in both its sort of focus on this premise and its sort of pushing the envelope.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the stuff, some of the funniest bits are absolutely when it's a bit dodgy. I mean, it does go there, which I like.
But it also remembers to keep the kind of comedy at the front and centre of it all, which something like Apatow's This Is 40, it kind of bled away because he was concerned with the real message of the film. No, whereas this, it's totally incorporated.
It's a joke machine. This is a joke machine. It just keeps them coming. And the emotional bits are very, very short.
Hen, what did you think?
Yeah, I loved it too, and for all those reasons, I think it's got about as much fat as Zac Efron, really. It's really trimmed down and toned, and it's also about the comedy of cruelty, and it's really about... There is an element of the drama in their lives as well. There's a nice scene where they're sat on the sofa, basically admitting that they wouldn't mind being each other, and that Seth Rogen's character hasn't admitted that the party's over and he still wants to be a frat boy. The frat boy almost wants to be a responsible father figure. So it does that real-life heavy stuff, but it also makes it incredibly funny and stupid, and there's dick jokes in there as well.
I mean, he could have been the absolute archetypal jock, but there's this weird thing where he's got this kind of misplaced kind of sentimental honour code as well as the sort of sadism.
That's lovely. Yeah. I mean, that's really makes it
honourable. He's got some honorable. Soul.
Yeah. Yeah, and his and as you say, he is like a father figure because he does look out for the other frat boys, and there's quite a lot of, you know, homoerotic stuff, but there's proper love. You know, it's really moving. He's great. It's Zac Efron's best performance, I think, by quite a long way.
He's really good, and Rose Byrne is great.
Rose Byrne's fantastic.
Yeah,
isn't it?
And that's partly because she's actually given a character. Yeah. She's allowed to do gross out. She's a woman who's allowed to do gross out, allowed to do the drama behind it, allowed to be one of the lads, essentially.
Yeah, and
in
she's
a way
as conflicted as the Seth Rogen character.
Yeah, and I think in, like, for instance, The Other Woman out last week, which was ostensibly for a female audience, it's just ridiculous stereotype after ridiculous stereotype. Mm. With this, at least you get some depth to everybody, even if they are joking about lactating tits half the time.
Some of those jokes, I mean, you know, they come so thick and fast that some of them aren't necessarily going to work. The breast pump thing felt a little bit kind of dropped in for the gross out crowd.
I guess a little bit. And there's, you know, there's just a few bits that do push it. The rape stuff is a bit, you know, it's funny. But and there's some swordplay with dildos that doesn't quite come off, so to speak. But Rose Byrne's character, I think that's absolutely the reason it worked for me, as opposed to something even like the Apatow films where Leslie Mann is meant to be having these sort of crises. But she's so perfect and gorgeous and so indulged by Apatow for obvious reasons. That, you know, but Rose Byrne's character, I love that little bit where she's just taking the baby to the car and she's sort of singing, you know, we'll go to the coffee shops where I hate all those bitches and it'll be so boring, but we'll get out of the house. You know, it's really funny. She was really funny and also very beautiful and good. But yeah, great.
And so many other good little supporting performances in there. I like Dave Franco
as
the sort of Man Friday kind of sidekick. Who, there's obviously something going on there. Whether they're admitting it or not, there's an attraction.
There's a strong homosocial bond, let's put it that way. And also a great little turn from Craig Roberts from Submarine, who just shows up as the wannabe frat boy whose name is Ass Juice. And he goes on a big philosophical trip about what it means to be in a frat, how we're all supposed to look out for each other as brothers. And his name is Ass Juice at the same time. And that's this film, really. It's a film that has a deeper element to it, but it's not afraid to call people Ass Juice.
You have no idea what you started. Welcome to the darkness, bitches.
Sorry my ball just got in your face.
They're so huge and hard to hold.
This is an expensive bush.
It's like Edward Scissorhands. Oh, hey, man, buy him dinner first.
Come on!
The route to maturity takes a wrong turn in Bad Neighbours. Elsewhere, the shambling hero of Blue Ruin is off on a trip of his own. Fingers crossed that this one ends up a little better, although it must be said the omens aren't good.
Officer Eddie. I'd like you to come into the station.
Is it about the house? Because I could...
Dwight, sweetheart, I'll explain. Okay? Just come with me.
Ruined Dwight is feeling blue. He sleeps in his car and scavenges food from the dumpster. But then his fortunes take a turn. Dwight wants revenge and he craves some redemption. So he drives off to Virginia to wage war on the backwoods clan who once done him wrong.
I apologize for the mystery. I don't mean to scare you. You're not in any trouble. Everything's fine. You'll be fine. But honey, someone brought this by our stoop. And I just thought you should be somewhere safe when you found out. With somebody. He's going to be released. And I don't know how much you... They are missed. It's an awful thing he did to them. I'm just going to hold you here for a little while.
Henry, are you a fan of that little known genre, the sensitive art house film vigilante thriller?
The sensitive art house revenge gore fest. This one was a big hit at the end of Cannes last year, and it's always a bit of a poison chalice, I think, that, because when you come to watch it further down the line, you find yourself thinking that probably people were very tired at the time and they've just seen too many films, because we've seen, I think, 20 or so films like this in the last 5 years, i.e. Rural America is scary,
yeah.
The Lone Gunman as a psychopath on the rampage.
Violence begats violence.
And in that way, it reminded me of films like God Bless America by Bobcat Goldthwait, or even Ain't Them Body Saints, which was out last year. And I'm not saying that it does anything bad particularly, but it's not a festival hit or a crowd stunner for me. It's just rather plain, a bit dry, and not that exciting.
Good performance from Macon Blair there as the sort of spade-bearded killer.
Yeah, it is. But it's just hard to get excited about. I liked seeing the guy from Nebraska, one of the big cousins, come back. That was nice. But for me, it didn't have enough humour. It just didn't, you know, it was like a Coens without, and it's meant to have all the sort of dark humour of the Coens.
Yeah.
It didn't.
I wasn't sure what it was trying to do. I mean, the first 15 minutes leads you to expect a very different film from that which it turns into, which is no bad thing. And yet, at the same time, I kept thinking that there was an uncertainty at the centre of it, that is having its cake and eating it. It's saying that there's too many of these vigilante films being made and I'm deconstructing those, but hey, I've got to kind of tick all the boxes as well.
Yeah, and also on a character level, he's a hopeless scrapper that you're supposed to side with but feel bad about siding with at the same time. And you're not given enough really to understand why you care about his struggle. After a time, you just think, oh, he's probably going to bumble his way through another successful murder. That's how he does it, and there you go. It just becomes what you see on screen. There's nothing behind the character as such.
Hey, man. I know this is personal. That's how you'll fail. No speeches, no talking. You point the gun, you shoot the gun.
That's Macon Blair in Blue Ruin. Now, enough with the murder and mayhem. We're off to a cramped flat in Singapore, the front line of the mid-90s Asian recession, where the staff and the employers are all feeling the pinch.
You can call me Terry, ma'am.
Just your bit. Sleep here.
Huh. Writer-director Anthony Chen leads us up the stairs and through the doors to show us an everyday household in meltdown. Dad's lost his job, mum's on the warpath, and the little son, Jala, is an A-grade brat. But here comes Anjali Bayani's housemaid to clean the whole place up.
I am your maid, but I didn't come here to be bullied.
Go and do our work, don't be careful!
Henry, I'm aware that this one might be a bit of a hard sell, but I thought this was terrific.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's really, really lovely. And I think it does a similar thing to what The Lunchbox did, which we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, in that it takes, as a microcosm, a family and presents that as a representation of society in that country at the time, but it does it very deftly and very smoothly. And there's some brilliant performances in this, particularly from the young kid and from the woman who plays the maid that comes into the house.
Yeah.
Really difficult child to deal with, but there's this feeling...
Oh, he's horrific.
He's terrible. He's a real tyke, but at the same time, she shows him love and he gives love back in return. And it's a believable relationship that they have that just develops naturally through the course of the film. And by the end, you even feel for him and you feel like he's got some sort of future, when at the start, he's a monster.
He is a monster. Yeah. And I love the kind of the sort of wry, very low-profile comedy of the T-shirts that they wear. That his one says, "Time to shine," and hers says, "Dream team." And they're both like mired in this absolutely miserable existence.
They are. Their relationship develops into something that's almost childish. Mm. You know, she's very kind of pushy with him, and there's a back and forth between them that is outside of anything else going on in the film.
But a weird sexual current as well.
A weird sexual current, but I think that's probably just his age and the fact that she's missing a son that she has at home. So there's a mother-son relationship developing between them, which is really lovingly played and very well done, I thought.
I mean, Catherine, all three of us were obviously brought up by housemaids, so did this kind of strike a chord with you?
Really rang true, yeah. No, but I think the thing about this as opposed to something like Blue Room, where you struggle to care, here you care not just about the maid and the boy, but also the mother and the father and supporting characters as well. I really liked it. It was really compelling. And, you know, absolutely, as you say, it does this brilliant thing of taking a theme and making it human. And, wow, it's like a soap. It's that compelling. Fantastically good, yeah.
And a first film from director incredible. Anthony Chen is,
absolutely
I think,
incredible.
30.
Yeah.
And because it has that incredible maturity that it is so kind of well textured that it doesn't feel like a kind of calling card at all.
No, it's absolutely confident, and he it's almost like he knows exactly what he's doing from the off, which you see very rarely, and I think that bodes very well for what he's going to do in future.
It's a very relaxed film. It's a very easy film to watch. You never feel the strain. It's incredible achievement, yeah.
Your hair very tall. Hmm? I hope you wash your hair.
Teresa, I'm his mother, not you.
How long have you been out of job for?
2 months.
Really?
Yes.
你的妈妈。你整天就会看穿你老公啊。你不可以脚踏实地一点，安分守己一点。可是我已经没有。现在什么局势，做什么生意，可以不要讲了吗？
The excellent Ilo there. Sadly, our party is almost over, but on Catherine's insistence, we've decided to go out with one last big blowout. This comes courtesy of the wannabe blockbuster Pompeii, which drags the Roman epic down to Poundland and then proceeds to pour on molten lava.
Tomorrow we fight. Slaves that live earn their freedom. From all corners of the Roman world, people would gather here.
If they catch you up here with me,
it'll be worth it. What is this?
It is the mountain. But for all our strength.
Can you feel that?
We lived in the shadow of a greater power.
There's a Mount Vesuvius of thrills in Pompeii, a cheesy, clattering romp that blends state-of-the-art special effects with below-par human ones. Game of Thrones star Kit Harington is the gladiator slave, Emily Browning his upper crust squeeze. But both of them, you fear, are about to be flambéed.
Catherine, how did you like this slice of beefcake?
I found it very delicious. I'm not really a fan of the swords and sandals thing. I don't really like Game of Thrones. I found it quite dull. And so I suppose lots of people care about Kit Harington, and for them he's a big star, apparently. For me, he was sort of cannon fodder. Mm-hmm. And I think the cast generally in this film are cannon fodder. They're quite sort of B-C list. For me, that worked brilliantly because you sort of get on with the spectacle and you're not worried about who'll live and who'll die. Mm. Because also you've got this thing that essentially, you know, it opens with this quote from Pliny the Younger about watching it and all that. And those who know their Pliny history will know that even some of those
did he just
wrote
say,
about,
oh my Christ?
Yeah. Well, I love the bit where Kit Harington's character says, is this normal? It's great. As Pliny said. But, you know, not even all those who watched it survived, in fact. Mm. And the thing about Pompeii is pretty hard to get out of that. It's not even Titanic, you know. And so you just get on with them all sort of... You just get on with it. And I love that. I love the fact that you didn't have big stars that you sort of thought, well, he'll have to live and he'll have to die. I got to say, really enjoyed it.
That's not the general consensus, though, Henry. I think this is being seen as a big turkey, isn't it?
Oh, snobs. I really liked it. It was fun. I mean, it takes a while to get to the volcano. There's an awful lot of... I half expected him to yell, are you not entertained at some
right,
point?
Yeah.
It's so gladiator-esque, but in a really cheap Poundland version, as you said. Also, Kit's got no charisma whatsoever. I think the mountain gives him a run for his money, pretty much. But other than that, I'd agree with Catherine. There's nothing here that isn't fun, isn't stupid, isn't completely historically inaccurate as far as I can tell. But it's a delightful film because of that. I think it's just pure volcanic fun.
In sort of true Roman epic Caligula fashion, you've got some fairly decent actors sort of buried in there, haven't you? You've got Jared Harris as the dad. Yeah.
And he's got a great line where he says, by Juno's tit, is this all your luggage? And so he makes the best of that. And you've got Kiefer Sutherland,
doing
really.
God awful accent. I couldn't place.
I thought he was doing a John Lithgow. I thought that's what Kiefer was doing. Or
how
a Donald
do you do
Sutherland.
A John Lithgow?
Or a kind of I'm not going to do it. But a sort of American English, ridiculous baddie, kind of squeezing the grapes, raping the women, yeah. Sort of. Whoa. I really like that.
You're libelling John Lithgow quite heavily.
No. I
love to squeeze a grape.
I mean, he's nothing like as good as John, but he does a damn good. He's enjoying himself.
He's also one of these evil characters in this kind of film who is supposed to be a senator who's been in Rome for the last 20 years after being at war, but can still fight like a 22-year-old training every day in a gladiatorial arena. So, preposterous, stupid, but so much fun.
I am not a Roman. I am a citizen of Pompeii.
And why do I see Rome's eagle everywhere I turn?
I am no part of that. My father believes that he can bargain with those animals.
My father? He would have killed every last one of them.
Bellini.
If they catch you up there, they'll punish you.
Kit Harington and Emily Browning getting hot and heavy in Pompeii. And sure enough, our curfew has been breached, the cops have been called, and all that's left is a feeling of sick remorse. My thanks to drinking buddies Catherine Short and Henry Barnes. We're back, same time next week.